أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد. By the fadl of Allah Ta'ala, we've reached the Mubarak 27th night of Ramadan. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعفو عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعفو عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا واعف عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. I had before we started the reading from tonight, I had a correction yesterday that I received from one Mulana Javed Iqbal, who is an Ustad of the Ulum in the Kidderminster branch of the Darulum Berry, and he lives I think in Birmingham. And so he politely reminded me that Imam Shafi'i was 29 when Imam Malik died. He was not 13. So that was a mistake in yesterday's lesson. Imam Shafi'i was born in 150, and Imam Malik died in 179 after Hijra. So Jazahullahu Khairan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our ulama for the islah that they do for the ummah. So we continue this kind of abridgment of the different consequences of sins, repercussions of sins that Hazrat Thanvi put in his book Jaza'ul A'mal. He continues by mentioning section in which he says that sinning causes one's lifespan to shorten and its blessing to be curtailed, whereas piety results in an extension of one's lifespan as established by authentic narrations. Shortening of a person's lifespan on account of sinning can be understood from this. The objection that one's lifespan is already decreed, therefore how can it increase or decrease, is a weak objection. Why apply this objection to lifespan alone? All of these things, affluence, poverty, good health, illness, are decreed, and one can make the same objection to them. Despite this, we resort to measures to remove poverty, to try to enjoy good health, etc., etc. The same can be applied to one's lifespan. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also, you know, when he mentions his qadr, he mentions his predestination and meeting out of certain things. A person is given something, and that's in the knowledge of Allah, and then he may increase in it or decrease in it, and that's also in the knowledge of Allah. Just like we mentioned yesterday, that Allah Ta'ala created a maqam in Jannah for every person of the hellfire, and he created a maqam in the hellfire of every person of Jannah. Obviously, he knew who was going to go where from beforehand, but it doesn't mean that he didn't make the possibility there for you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in a person's life, in what they can get done in the same amount of time, and also in the amount of time as well, because of certain people's good deeds and bad deeds. And that's the point of this section. Section 10, another harm of sin is that one who commits sin will do it until it becomes the cause of a second sin and then a third. Gradually, sins become many to the extent that the sinner is immersed in them. Secondly, constant sinning becomes his habit, which then is extremely difficult to give up. He then commits a sin because if he does not, it causes him pain and discomfort. Subsequently, the wretched person has no enjoyment in their life whatsoever. This is another issue. Like, for example, heroin, right? If a person shoots up heroin for a week or for a month and then says, "This is a sin, this is horrible, I want to give it up." Can you give it up easily? No, if you just give it up right away, you'll die. There are a number of sins like that. They become a person's habit. The person's heart becomes molded around it. They cannot sleep if they don't commit that sin. They can't wake up if they don't commit that sin. They can't function as a normal person if they don't do that sin. Alcohol is the same thing. People don't know this. Just because it's legal in the state of Illinois doesn't mean that it's legal in the court of Allah Ta'ala. People who are alcoholics, who are addicted to alcohol, some of them, if they give it up cold turkey, they'll die from it. People literally die from it. This is a thing that happens. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he told a story about a man what happened was that there was he heard that there was a tree somewhere that people were worshiping, and so he was a believer, and he became so happy, or sorry, not happy, the opposite of happy. He became so angry that he took his axe, and his niyyah was to chop that tree down for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that the people shouldn't worship it as an idol instead of Allah. So on the way there, shaitan came to him in the form of a man, and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he says, "I'm going to chop this tree down." He says, "Well, slow down, you know, what's the big deal?" He says, "No, it's wrong, people shouldn't be worshipping this tree, and it's shirk, and it's going to destroy their akhirah, and it's going to destroy their dunya, and it makes no sense, etc., etc." So the shaitan haggles with him back and forth, and he says, "Look, how about this? Instead of being hasty about this, here, take a dinar, a gold coin. It's worth a good amount of money. He says, here, take this dinar, this gold coin, and just don't chop it down today. You know, just don't chop it down today." So he says, he thinks about it, he says, okay, he takes the dinar, he goes home. The next day, after the day has passed, he goes back with the axe. You've heard this? Have you heard this hadith before? He goes back with the axe, and he's going to chop that that tree down. And the same shaitan comes to him again in the form of a man, and he argues with him and haggles with him, and says, "Here, I'll give you another dinar, just give it another day." So he takes the dinar and he goes home. And now his resolve is weakened. So the third day he goes, he knows he's going to see that man again, and he's going to get a gold coin from him. So what happens, shaitan comes to him in the form of a man. He asks him, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to go chop the tree down." He says, "No, you're not." And he grabs him by the throat and slams him to the floor. This is another example of this, that when a person does something wrong, it opens the door for more wrong to happen. Shaitan now has control over him. Why? Because he weakened his heart. Before he had iman inside his heart, he was going to do what was right, and he was going to do it for the sake of Allah. Then what happened, that kafiyah that stayed inside the heart eroded to the point where the power that he had to resist shaitan was gone. Now shaitan, he took shaitan as his sheikh now. Now shaitan has power over him. There's so many places in the Quran and in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is mentioned. Wukila ilayhi fanuwallihi ma tawalla. You know, there are so many places that this is mentioned, that the person who takes authority or makes authority out from someone, then Allah Ta'ala says, okay, go under that person's authority. If you follow a messed up sheikh, then that sheikh will have control over you. Nobody forced you to follow him in the first place. Once you start following him, he has control over you. If you follow shaitan, shaitan will have control over you. If you follow your nafs will get control over you. Allah Ta'ala says this in his book. He says that whoever disputes with the Rasul or breaks with the Rasul after the path of guidance has been made clear to him, and follows a path other than the path of the believers, we will put them under the control of the thing that they seek authority from. So if you're like, well, the Quran is good, but it's misogynistic. Okay, fine, khalas, you're under the control of the feminists now. You say, oh, the Quran is good, but it's not good for modern, commerce. Okay, fine, you're under the control of capitalism. The Quran is good, but there's certain sections of it that are homophobic. Khalas, then that's the thing, that thing will have power over you. That thing you took as a god, that thing will have power over your nafs. It had no power over you before until you accepted it. But once you accept it, then you've given up. You've signed away your life to that thing, and to break that is very difficult. It's not impossible to break that; is difficult. In fact, this is one of the reasons why Allah Ta'ala says in His book, He gives the metaphor of bringing the dead to life when He talks about giving iman to people. There are some people that the Quraysh, they gave away their control over their souls to rocks and to stones and to money and to racism and tribalism and all these other different things, and it was the fadl of Allah Ta'ala, it was the grace of Allah Ta'ala that this powerful nur came through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and shook them, that they had a second chance to be like, do we really want to do this or not? And some of them still it didn't wrest a grip from them, but most of them it did. But it's very difficult at that point. So this is one of the harms of the sins. Is what is that? The punishment of one is that you will do a second, and the punishment of the second is that you'll do a third, and your nafs will become literally like a slave to it. And then afterward, you may even want to give it up, and you can't. Uncle, you ever met an alcoholic before? You've been in America for a while. They're drunk people, but for whatever reason, they love me. Like they're like they come to me like a magnet. They come to me because the thing they know Muslims we don't drink, right? So they'll come and they'll be like, oh, you guys don't drink. That's boring. That's bogus. That's this and that. And then I'll be like, no, it's not. It's good. You know, I go like, you know, you keep your wits about you. I don't go home and beat my wife up and like smash windows and, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a good thing. That's a good way of living. And they're like, yeah, you're right, man. You know what? Let me be honest with you. Like, you know, I hate this so much. I hate this bottle so much, but I can't leave it. So many people have said that to me. So many people, alcoholics, have said that to me. From the time I was in university, you know, and through until now. The problem is, bukila ilayhi, you can't give it up. It's difficult. It's very difficult. One guy used to really give me a hard time. I knew him. He used to give me really, Allah ta'ala give him hidayah, he's a good guy, mashallah. He used to give me a really hard time. You guys think you're better than us because you don't drink? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. You know? and he would like, sometimes he'd become really upset. And then he would confide in me afterwards. Like, man, I got so wasted last weekend. And I actually saw Satan. And it was the scariest thing in the world. I swear, it's not right. I should give it up, blah, blah, blah. Then the next week, same thing. You know, you think you're better than us because you don't drink. Okay, chalo yaar khair. I didn't say anything. Why do you, you know, if you feel something in your heart, then why are you going to say it to me? But yeah, in this one juz'i sense, this one particular sense, yes, a person who doesn't drink is better than the one who does. All the sins are like that though. Addiction to money, addiction to all sorts of different things, takabbur, jealousy, all of them are like that. A person, once they start to indulge themselves to it, they become subject to its power, and that's really scary. That's really scary. A person, you know, those are the type of sins. If a person, you know, looks over their life and they find themselves, you know, under the power of those things, that's the one they should turn to Allah Ta'ala in a Mubarak night like this and say, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyumu, Bi Rahmatik Astaghithu, Aslih Li Sha'ni Kullahu, Wa La Takilni Ila Nafsi Tarfata Ayn. Oh, the one who is ever living and the one through whom everything subsists. I call out desperately for your mercy. Istighatha is what? Is like when you're about to die and you cry out for help. That's what istighatha is. That's what istighatha is, that I cry out for your help desperately. Rectify my affair, all of it, and don't put me under the control of my nafs, not even for the twinkling of an eye. That you control my affairs, don't leave me to choose for myself. You choose for me what's best. Because we've chosen for ourselves whatever makes us happy, and we've done it again and again, and it's driven us to destruction. We're done with it. It's no longer, it doesn't appeal to us anymore. You know, a person just needs to make dua to Allah Ta'ala like a person who's like on a sinking ship. You know, you got 5 minutes to ask for what you want. Afterward, you're not going to get to ask anything ever again. So go ahead, you know, go ahead and ask. That's the way a person has to make dua. So someone may commit such a sin because if he does not, it causes him great pain and discomfort. Subsequently, the wretched person has no enjoyment whatsoever. I've seen so many, ajib, Allah protect us from these things. I don't tell these stories to like look down on other people. Allah knows what the hal is inside of our own hearts. And you know, if someone else were to tell you about our sins, then you know, you'd be like, well, you're in the same boat. Allah protect all of us. It's just good to remind a person, especially before they get stuck in these things. Because it's easy not to go into them in the first place. Once you're stuck in them, it's very difficult to get out. Once you come under the power of it. I mean, there was one brother, he owned a restaurant. Okay, he used to sell alcohol in that restaurant. He used to sell haram food in that restaurant. And it made a lot of money for him. It made a lot of money for him. One night, maybe like a night like this, he made tawbah in the masjid and he said, I'm going to stop selling alcohol and I'm going to stop, selling haram things. And he ran the thing for, like, I think, for maybe 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, something like that. And, he was still making money. The restaurant business is very cutthroat. You know, the margins are very thin. A lot of them, they fail in the first year. He was still making money. But he wasn't making as much money as he was from before. The guy owns several houses and he's driving nice cars and all of these other things. And what was it? It was just that he wasn't making as much money from before. So he would call and he'd be like, oh, my relatives are saying, look, you're throwing away money, you're stupid. You know, what should I say to them? I said, I don't know. You say whatever you want to them, you know? I go, are you starving to death? Is it like they're going to evict you from your house? Maybe we can give you a fatwa that this is permissible because you're going to, like, you know, your kids are going to become homeless or whatever. No, we're making money, but it's just, we were making so much more from before. And khalas, the guy, one day we went into his restaurant and we see there's like a you know, like a Budweiser fridge in there. And, you know, he's like, oh yeah, brothers, well, you see like this and this item are not halal anymore. I go, that's fine. And we just waited for him to go back into the kitchen. We got up and left. You know, Allah give hidayah, inshallah, khatima on iman. People make stupid mistakes. Maybe he also will, inshallah, make dua, that he'll also make tawbah. You know, you may dua for other people for in these things. Why? Because if Allah, you know, accepts it for them, maybe he'll accept it for us as well. You know, it's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when a person makes dua for his brother behind his back, Allah appoints an angel to say that may this also be for this one as well. So maybe Allah will give us tawfiq as well before we leave. The point is not necessarily to badmouth the guy, but you know, these are they're scary things. Someone, for someone it's money, for someone it's women, for someone it's men, for somebody it's a marriage, for somebody it's you know, which school they get into, for somebody it's which profession they go to, for somebody it's you know, how they look, or you know, all of these different types of things. But they throw their heart and they throw their spirit into the garbage can, and it's just not worth it, you know. And then that person has no enjoyment whatsoever. That person has no enjoyment whatsoever. They get what they want, but it's the life is not devoid of any happiness anymore, and the akhirah is even worse, you know. Section 11. Sinning causes the will and desire for repentance to weaken until a person is left with no inspiration whatsoever to repent, and then they die in this condition. This is one of the most scary things. Why? Because a person will be judged according to the way they pass from this world. It causes the desire for repentance to weaken until the person has no inspiration whatsoever to repent, and they die in this condition. I've heard from brothers, you know, like in the Muslim world, like, you know, people who have seen car accidents, for example. People, Muslims drink as well. Imagine if someone was flogged in Medina during the life of the Prophet ﷺ for being drunk. And he's a Sahabi, and the Prophet ﷺ, you know, like the people were like shouting curses at him when they flogged him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, don't help shaitan against your brother. You know, so you can flog him, but don't curse him, you know. So if people are going to be drunk at that time, people who drink in the Muslim world, unfortunately. So they said that one brother said that I saw a car accident, and the person at the time of his death, you know, he it was a fatal car accident, and he's dying, he's bleeding, you know, and he was drunk, and they're saying to him, just say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah. So mashallah, see, being in the Muslim world, there's a benefit. Imagine in your dying breath, if somebody comes to you like that, that's a great blessing. Says they're saying to him, to say la ilaha illallah. And he's just saying, he says, I can't. And he's like, I'm not. I just see the fire. Actually, it's very interesting. One of the mashayikh told me this, unconnected, like separately. When someone is dying, don't tell him, say la ilaha illallah. Rather, just you yourself, just repeat la ilaha illallah like once every minute or two. Why? Because sometimes shaitan comes to the person and you can't see them, but shaitan sees that person. Or so that person sees the shaitan. And the shaitan will tell him weird stuff like die on the deen of the Nasara, or die on the deen of the Yahud, or die in this deen or in that deen, or this is not true or that's not true. And the person might be saying no to the shaitan, and they may not be saying no to you. So maybe that's what was happening. Allah knows best. But the thing is, it still doesn't look good. You know, when a person is drunk, are they going to expect that they're going to be able to have their wits about? It's probably more probable that such a person will be doing what at that time? Will they be repenting or no? Or will Allah Ta'ala take the tawfiq away from them? That's very scary, you know. People commit sins, you know what I mean? People mess up, everybody does. After the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everybody does at some point or another. Some people's mess ups are bigger and some people's are smaller. But the problem is that the problem with that sin is that if you let it go out too long without reining it in, and you don't think that these things are bad anymore, what happens? It starts to impinge on your heart. It starts to impinge on your ruh, to the condition where a person may be like, you know, they're dying. This happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, Abu Talib. Imagine, he offered the protection, the tribal protection of Banu Hashim to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when all Quraysh betrayed him treacherously, and they boycotted Banu Hashim. He also went into that boycott and he died from it as well. He literally starved to death in the protection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine if he had died on iman, how much ajr and reward he would have gotten for that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him so much. He literally is dying and he says to him, "Say to me a word. If you say it, I will go and advocate on your behalf in front of Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment." And what is it? Abu Jahl is sitting right next to him and he laughs. He says, "Oh, you! If you become Muslim right now, all the Arabs will laugh at you because you only did it because you're afraid of it." They'll say, "Abu Talib only did it because he's afraid of death." You know, at the last moment when that thing gets taken away from a person, that's a really scary thing. A person should always ask for Husnul Khatima. Murabit Rahimullah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that was the dua we would receive from him when we would go to him every day after Maghrib. After the durus and lessons are over and we'd pray Maghrib, we'd go and take our turban off and our hat off, and he would place his hands on our heads and he would say, "Tawfiq wal afiyah, tawfiq wal afiyah wa husnul khatima." Allah give you tawfiq, that every good intention that you have, Allah let you do it. Wal afiyah, Allah Ta'ala keep you free from any harm. Keep you happy in a good state. And husnul khatima, that when you die, die well. May your end, your seal, be a good end. I remember I said that one time to somebody, to a relative, and they're like, "Oh, bhai, husnul khatima kya mujhe marwane ke chakkar mein ho kya?" So he said, what kind of dua is that? You're trying to kill me? You're talking about my death? I go, if I knew that I would have husnul khatima like just around the corner, I would like to pray two rak'ahs of shukr and leave. What is there in this dunya? You want to see what Donald Trump is going to do tomorrow? You want to see what Kim Kardashian is, selling tomorrow? You want to, see like if they export tariffs go up on China and on Mexico? Is that what you want to live for? Or does the rida and the mahabba of Allah Ta'ala mean more to you? Obviously, nobody likes to die. That's not the point of it. You know what I mean? But the point is that after you know, it's like getting a shot, you know? A person may even take the shot. Why? Because it's better than getting measles. It's better to take the shot than to get, like, whatever, mumps and rubella. Like, what is mumps? You don't even want to find out what it is. Just take the shot. Who cares, you know? That a person should fear that their sin should take that away from them. And notice that's not a shari'i issue. It's not a fiqh issue. It's looking at the sin through a different prism, which is just as much a part of the deen. And so this is the end of the bridge portion of the Jaza'ul A'mal, the small treatise written by Hazrat Tanvi. One more section, inshallah, we'll read and we'll let the brothers and sisters get to their ibadah for this night. There is a small book named Nida'i Tarbiyat by Sheikh Abdul Halim Jassim al-Bilali, translated by Mufti Muhammad Arshad Faruqi. It contains a theme titled Dil Ki Zindagi, The Life of the Heart, and so he quotes it below. It's just a small tract, inshallah, we'll read that and then let everyone be on their way. The Life of the Heart. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah tabarak wa ta'ala, was one of the leaders in the science of hadith, and we also, interject that we also covered his life in the Tabaqat of the Sufiya as well. Abdullah bin Mubarak earlier in this month. So you can listen to that if you want to again. He says in a few lines of poetry that we know that sins kill the heart and that persistent in sin results in disgrace and humiliation. And abstaining from sin gives life to the heart. And disobeying your carnal self results in nothing but good. Disobeying your nafs, it results in nothing but good. The person who can work out, they become strong. The person who can diet, they get into shape and look good in their clothes. The person who can, stop themselves from mouthing off to a cop or trying to fight with them, goes home unshot, you know, most of the time. There was one uncle, I was coming home from Tarawih one year from the Masjid Usman. So I got pulled over by a cop in Lombard. There's a place on Lombard Main where the speed limit drops from like 45 to 25 very abruptly. So I got pulled over, and so I'm like, this is it. You know, all this Trayvon and all this stuff is happening at this time. I go, this is it. You know, this is it. Say your La ilaha illallah, this is it. So I put my hands on the steering wheel, like my hands open like this on the steering wheel, and it was a woman that she pulled me over, you know, the cop. And so she laughed so hard when she saw, she says, she laughed so hard, and she says, "Sir, you can put your hands down. This is not going to be that kind of stop." I was like, "Thanks a lot, auntie." Chachi and mommy, mashallah. So, yeah. So this is that disobeying your nafs, it results in nothing but good. It allows a person to get through all sorts of difficult things intact. The hearts of so many people die while moving around on the earth. When the causes or means for the life of the heart come to an end, minor and major sins cause germs and viruses to attack the heart, and they then permeate it. This is obviously not to be taken literally, but it's a spiritual metaphor. When a person commits a sin, then as per the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a black spot appears on the heart. When this black spot falls onto the heart, a similar size of light is removed from it. When the sins are continuously committed, this darkness envelops the entire heart. The heart is then deprived of Allah Ta'ala's light, and the nur of divine revelation is removed. The nur of benefiting from the recitation of the Qur'an and du'as and dhikr, etc. The heart becomes weak until it eventually dies. Just as sinning is the fundamental reason for the death of the heart, abstaining from sin is the secret of its life. Not necessarily doing good. Abstaining from sin is a good deed better than doing good deeds. Better than, you know, reading 100 rak'ahs and then getting drunk that night. That person is like a person who built a castle after destroying an entire city. That's what the example Ghazali gives. Come on. Bana qasran wa damara wa hadama misran. The person who built like one castle and said, "Oh, look how beautiful it is," after laying waste to an entire like city-state. He says, just as sinning is the fundamental reason for the death of the heart, abstaining from sin is the secret behind life. The waning pulse comes to life again, and life spreads throughout every organ of the body. The heart is not inhabited only by giving up sins, rather it also needs good deeds. It is similar to rain falling on fertile ground. Allah Most High says in this regard, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ وَأَنبَتَتْ مِن كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَهِيجٍ. This is a beautiful metaphor in the Quran, and a person living in the city will not understand it. Only somebody who observes nature very closely. You know, if you don't live out in the forest or in the desert or whatever, you can still go watch a nature documentary or something every now and then. This could be, it'll help you understand a little bit about the Quran as well. Not in the sense of like what's halal and what's haram, but just some of these ideas that you see that there, these metaphors that are talked about. Says that you see the earth is barren. It's completely dead. And then when we send down the rain on it, it starts to move. Obviously it's not like an earthquake, right? But you see like it starts to move, meaning like living things start to move again. This happened in Mauritania as well. When the rain comes down, you'll see all sorts of living things come. I don't know how it is in Hyderabad, but like in Lahore, like when the Barsat, the Barsat and Savan, when the monsoon rains come down, you see all sorts of living things that you never noticed from before. Different types of bugs, different types, you know what I mean? Like different plants, you know? Everything, it just comes alive. Like literally in the desert, rivers will start flowing through the desert. You'll see animals you never saw before. And they're gone then, again, when everything becomes dry and dead once more. You see that the rain, when Allah Ta'ala brings it down, caused the earth to stir and to swell. And then puts forth everything, every zojin bahij, every type of, he translated as radiant plant. Bahja is like means happiness. It's like the happiness of life comes back into the heart of the person after they give up, you know, after they give up that death of sin. And this is not just one place, so many places in the Quran Allah Ta'ala gives this example. And it's something very beautiful when you see it, it's very beautiful. Like Mauritania is like that, it's like the Sahara Desert, which is redundant, right? Sahara means Sahara means desert, and Sahari means deserts in Arabic. If you make wudu in the same place, like for 4 or 5 days in a row, you'll see something will start to grow over there. Just from the small amount of water. It's there. You know, don't let anybody think that, oh, look, I'm such a big sinner. This is a shaitan will, you know, urinate in a person's ear and say these things. Oh, you're such a big sinner. You're so bad. You're so this. You're so that. There are sahabas that used to, they buried their infant daughters alive, radiallahu anhum, and they cried for it afterward. They wept for it afterward. They, you know what I mean? They made up for it afterward. They would cry about it, even, you know, despite all of their achievements thereafter. No, but none of you like killed your daughter, you know. If you did, well, even the people who did that, Allah forgave them. You know, this thing shaitan puts in your ear that there's no, there's nothing. The earth is completely dead. It's completely dead. You go see those parts of the desert. They're dead, and if you stay, hang out yourself too long, they'll kill you too. Right? You see, like, if once you see, you go to a place where there's like the desiccated corpses of like donkeys, then you know, okay, if donkey can't handle this, you know, I don't got a chance over here. Those are the places where Allah Ta'ala, He sends down just a little bit of water, and you see the earth literally start to move with life. And everything that comes in pairs, all living things come in pairs, male and female. Everything that comes in pairs, you'll see that every happy thing that comes in pairs, you'll see that emerge from that and swell forth from that place. There are so many dead hearts which Allah Most High has revived through the mercy of divine revelation. And how many hearts were destroyed on account of sinning, pride, laziness, or lethargy. May Allah Ta'ala keep our hearts vibrant with the enthusiasm of obedience to Him. Note, we learn from this that we have to carry out acts of obedience and abstain from sins for the life of our heart. This is incumbent on every Muslim. May Allah Most High inspire us. Ameen. Wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala wa sallama ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam ajma'in. May Allah Ta'ala write in this night that we are the ones that are to be freed from the fire, us who are present and those who listen, and all of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah write in this night that all of those of our brothers and sisters who are toiling under the yoke of zulm, of imprisonment, of slavery, of being fired upon because they say la ilaha illallah, of their houses being assaulted, of their women and children being killed, their men being killed, all of those who are treated as second class, even though with Allah Ta'ala they're the first, all of those who are suffering through any difficulty, whether it be political or economic or financial, or whether it be inside the heart that shaitan has the upper hand on them, or the nafs or the dunya or the vanity has the upper hand on them. Allah Ta'ala write in this Mubarak night the closeness of His help, of His nasr, that His nasr should be close at hand, and it comes and it turns the tide from darkness into light, and from zulm into honor, and from defeat into victory. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala write it for us both in this world and in the hereafter. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna u'fu anna nahnu al-hadirin was-sami'in wa li ummati sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa li kulli man qala la ilaha illa Allah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min sayyidina Adam alayhi salam ila akhir man qala Allah Allah wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.